Reading this morning is from 2 Samuel 9, and I've called this From Obscurity to a Place at the King's Table. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, and they summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father's Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belongs to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." And Mephibosheth said, "Grandson of your master will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." And Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth, and he lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet.
Thank you. Today I've called our title, you notice from your notices, Grace in Action. You know, well done, Eric. It's Mephibosheth. Shall we all say it together? Mephibosheth. So if I get it wrong, you know what I'm saying, all right? So our reading this morning is about this young man called Mephibosheth and how he received something that he didn't deserve, something that he couldn't earn. In many ways, it was a completely unbelievable story of grace. Now, I don't know about you, but did anybody watch Pointless on Friday? I don't know if you saw the last bit when they get through to the final and the final couple are there and they have to answer these a choice of four questions. Well, they chose the category of Japan. And, they had to choose either names of films made by Japanese film producers. I got a clue. Names of Japanese football players that played in the World Cup. Or names of Japanese prime ministers. I couldn't remember what the fourth category was. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So anyway, had to find a minute to find these three answers. Well, They announced that, their first answer was a complete guess. I can't even pronounce what it was, but it was a Japanese name. And he thought they were fairly certain about the second and third answer. Yeah, we're pretty confident about these. So we'll put our first answer we're less confident about first. So up went the clock. It didn't go, It went all the way down to zero. Well, they were completely bowled over. Their faces were just like, well, where did that come from? Well, if that was a complete wild guess, and they admitted that it was a wild guess, and yet they'd walked away with the prize money of the day. Completely unbelievable that, I mean, the producers were astounded, I think. They were gobsmacked that this couple had come up and made up a Japanese name that they thought that sounded quite, you know, legit. And the two they were fairly certain about weren't even in the running. I just thought it was a sense that the unbelievable happens. And in this story, it's an unbelievable story. The shock on their faces said it all for me. Anyway, I wonder what the face of Mephibosheth was. I wonder what he looked like when King David restored land servants and to eat from the table of David himself. I wonder what his face would have been a picture, wouldn't it? That complete disbelief. And we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. So what do we know about Mephibosheth? Well, if you go back to 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, we're told that he was the son of Jonathan and that he would be obviously the grandson of Saul, who died on the battlefield with Saul's son and Mephibosheth's father. And he was 5 years old. And during that time of when the news came about his father and grandfather, the nurse that was caring for him picked him up, and somehow he fell out of the arms of his nurse and became disabled. So we know this from 2 Samuel 4. So we pick up the story some 15 or so years later. We're not exactly sure how later it is, but some years later, because he had a son of his own called Micah. The text tells us that Mephibosheth was lame in both feet, and that was back from the incident when he was 5. So he carried this disability all the way through since that accident. Now, in those days, it was common for a king who took possession of land that was a different dynasty to completely obliterate and wipe out and purge the land of any previous regime. So they would go on a killing spree so that there would be then no threat to their empire that they were building. That was the rule of the day. So you can imagine what would it have been like for Mephibosheth when he saw the delegation of the king coming to him as he stayed at Lo Debar. Now, Lo Debar was a back-end place. It was the wilderness of all wildernesses. It was a place that you went to escape from anything, where you could hide and not be noticed. It was a barren place, not a luxurious palace or anything, but the back of beyond. And so, I wonder, Mephibosheth would have been sitting perhaps in the porch, watching, I hypothesize now, and he sees this cloud of dust. And as these people start to draw, they're from the king. Oh my word, what's going to happen now? Knowing that actually what normally takes place is they would kill any living relative going. But no. The story goes on to say that they invite him back to the palace, to the king, to meet David face to face. Now, if you remember the promise David made to Jonathan, do you remember that promise? If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 20. And let's have a quick look at that together. And it's verses 14 and 16 we need to look at. So this is the point where David and Jonathan, David is fearing for his life because Saul is attacking him. And they're in this conversation about what should we do. And then in the midst of that conversation, we have this promise. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family. Not even when the Lord has cut off everyone from David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account, And Jonathan had David reaffirmed his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. That sense that David promised to show kindness to the family of Jonathan and his descendants. So there was this promise some 15 to 20 years ago that David made as he was starting to flee for his life because Saul was in pursuit. So it would have been easy, very easy for David to do what previous rulers had done, to have not respect for any promise that he'd made, to carry on and do what other kings would have done in their day. But David remembered the oath that he'd made to his friend Jonathan. And here in our passage, we see that promise starting to be reenacted again. I wonder if there are times when we don't keep our promises that we make, when our word is not our bond. You know, the society around us is full of people that don't fulfill their promises. Let us be a people who are like David, where their word is their bond. So David is keen to fulfill this promise that he made with his friend Jonathan many years ago. And so we read in verse 1 of our text, David asks, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul and whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So Mephibosheth arrives before David in verse 6. We see Mephibosheth bowing before the king, I suspect trembling at knee, not knowing what was to come, and feeling fearful for his life, I suspect, at that point. And then the words of David to Mephibosheth are offered in verse 7 of our text. And it says, "Do not be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Wow. You can see him still at that point fearing for his life. Because in verse 8, he then says this. He bows before him and says, "What is your servant that should notice a dead dog like me?" In other words, I'm useless. I'm of no value. I'm like a dead dog. Why would you bother with me? What is the point? I'm lame. I was better out in Lodabar. Why do you want to bother with me? And yet, as we know, David wanted to fulfill the promise that he'd made to his friend Jonathan. But as we know, David did not just restore all the land that belonged to Saul, but gave him a seat at his table, an honored place to sit before him. David more than honored the promise of his best friend. You know, Mephibosheth had done nothing to earn this privilege. He had done nothing to receive this honor other than run away. God's grace to us is like something that we don't deserve, that we cannot earn, that we cannot obtain by our own right. We see in Romans 3, verses 23 and 24, it says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." It is, as we have sung, by God's grace that we are able to enter in. And that wonderful text from Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 10 that says this, for it is grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is by grace that we experience, and Mephibosheth experienced, to be able to not only be restored, but to sit at the king's table. You know, we are invited to sit round the table of God. I was reminded of the words from Psalm 23. I have prepared a table before you. The Lord's table, he has prepared that for us. In Revelation 19, we're invited to the Lord's wedding supper of the Lamb. That would be an amazing place, wouldn't it? In John 14, verse 2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you to sit at my table. That is the invitation to us. So not only did Mephibosheth receive an invitation to sit at the king's table, we also have received an invitation to sit at the king's table. I think that deserves an amen, don't you? Amen. You know, as I started to think about this, there is something about sitting at the king's table. We know that Mephibosheth was lame, don't we? But when he sat at the table, his lameness was covered up. You couldn't see his lameness because he was treated as an honored guest. There is something about the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that covers our brokenness. And that as that brokenness it covers, we are able to sit at the table of the Lord. We're able to experience his grace and his mercy. We cannot clothe ourselves with garments of righteousness. We cannot do that. It is only by God's grace and God's dressing us in garments of righteousness are we able to come into the presence of the King Almighty. It is by God's grace that we are able and are freely welcomed to come into the presence of the King Almighty. You know, there is a miracle that is happening around the Lord's table. A miracle that Mephibosheth experienced. A boy who was lame at 5, ran away for fear of his life, and yet now restored into full relationship with the King. Isn't that grace at work? Is that grace at work in your life today, where you know that you do not have to run away from the King of Kings, but know that God's grace is sufficient for you to be able to stand and know his power of love and mercy working through you? But it takes that place where we say, yes, Lord. We might come like Mephibosheth. I feel like a dead dog. I am useless and worthless. Let me bow before you. Why would you want to bother with me, Lord? And yet God so loved the world that he gave his son for you, so that we might know the power of his grace working through us day by day by day. Because you are a child, we are children of the living God. We have been called by God's grace to experience his love, his mercy for us every day. It is because of what Christ did on the cross that we can know and experience that day by day. So we don't have to be like the dead dog. I'll just reassure you there. We don't have to be like that dead dog. We are valuable in the sight of the King. We are priceless in the sight of the King. You are unique in the sight of the King, because God loves you with a never an ending love. The table, the place is set for you. Your invitation has arrived. You are called to sit at the table of the King. To sit at the table means you've got to do something, doesn't it? It means you've got to stand up and you've got to physically place yourself in that place. If you go to a wedding banquet and you always stand outside, you're never going to taste the feast of what the banquet has. That sense that we journey towards that place that God has for us. That richness that is waiting for you and for me. But it is participative. There are a number of stories in the New Testament that talk about wedding banquets. The 10 virgins that waited. The 5 that had to go and refill their lamps because they weren't prudent enough to get enough oil. I wonder, where will you be when the trumpet sounds and the call? You know, I remember going to a hotel when I was younger with my parents, and for dinner there was a gong at the bottom of the stairs. Do you remember those type of hotels? And the hotel person, manager, whoever it was, used to say, "Simon, would you like to ring the gong?" Well, that was a real joy. Yeah, go ding 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 ding. Really give it a good bashing. So everybody could hear that the call for supper was there. Your place was set. If you're late, you could miss out because there mightn't be nothing left. So everybody was listening for the gong at 6:30 or whenever it was for tea so that you could feast and enjoy the wares that have been prepared for you. When the trumpet sounds, when God comes again in glory, where will you be? Will you be in that place ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready. I'm walking and flowing with you." Or are you going to miss out? That sense that God has prepared a place, but will you respond? By responding, and as we sit at the table of God, even in our brokenness, He makes us whole. Even in our brokenness, He makes us whole. Whereas Mephibosheth might have still been lame, but as he sat at the table of the King, he was treated like royalty. You and me will be treated like royalty because we are children of the living God. It is nothing that we can do. It is nothing that we can earn. It is nothing that we deserve, but it is only by God's grace that we can walk in that. I'm going to close at that point. But just for you to know that it is by grace that we come. It is by invitation that we come to experience God's love, God's mercy, and God's blessing upon our lives. Let us pray. Merciful and wonderful God, we thank you for the story and the account of Mephibosheth. Father, we do pray, Lord, that we would know and experience your love for us. That we would know and experience your grace day by day. Father, Lord, at times we can feel worthless. At times we can feel that we are not worthy, even to, as the Anglicans say, even worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table. But Lord, your nature is always to have mercy. Lord, we thank you that you see value in us. We thank you that you love us completely. Help us to know that love, to experience that love, and to walk in that love. We thank you for your grace that is so freely poured out upon our lives. Thank you, Father, for being patient with us. Thank you for understanding. And thank you for never giving up on us when others have. For you are the God of eternity, who knows the beginning from the end. And we say thank you, for we choose to praise you today. Lord of all, King of kings. Amen.